Aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. And tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving. And a reminder that Republic Broadcasting is giving our overworked and underpaid technicians tomorrow and Friday off. Also, the radio hosts. We work pretty hard. So it'll be repeats, and our next live show is going to be on Monday. And for that very reason, the lovely Lady Claire is going to be sharing our third hour today. So the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room. We've sorted out our technical gremlins, so Bam User is up there and running. And again, getting on back to Thanksgiving, you probably will not be surprised to find out that the original Thanksgiving isn't as it's popularly portrayed. First of all, it was actually held in June, on June 20th, 1676, and they weren't exactly sharing a meal with the Indians. They were actually celebrating having rid the land of the Indians by force of arms. A little bit of a altered history there. Now, today is also the anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and we posted a few articles about that on whatreallyhappened.com. You might want to hunt down this multi-part series that appeared some years ago called The Men Who Killed Kennedy. And it's a very thorough examination of what happened. I notice it doesn't really seem to be on cable TV, and neither is Oliver Stone's JFK that I've been able to find so far. So it's like something the government kind of wants to fade away. But again, there were a few juicy little items in the recently declassified Kennedy papers, including confirmation of an entrance bullet wound to the front of the throat. And they cover that also on The Men Who Killed Kennedy. Then there was the Secret Service stand down, the video of the guy literally being told, no, don't get on the presidential car. And there was just all kind of stuff like that. All right, to get today's events here, Houston, we have a problem, and it turns out a key witness for Robert Mueller failed to show up in court today and has gone walkabout. Now, he didn't escape, but apparently this gentleman, Zarab, who's facing prosecution, he's in U.S. custody, but he's been moved. And nobody knows where he is, and it looks like maybe Mueller has pressured this individual to become a witness against other people in the Trump administration, and so they've moved him to basically keep him from anybody who might talk him out of that. Now, over at Judicial Watch, and again, Judicial Watch is doing a huge bang-up job, really. They always have, under Larry Klayman and now under Tom Fitton. And either one of these gentlemen would make a great attorney general, in my opinion. But Judicial Watch has released 79 pages of Justice Department documents concerning ethics issues related to FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe's involvement with his wife's political campaign. Now, McCabe was very much part of the FBI team that was giving Hillary Clinton a pass on her email server scandal. And apparently at the same time, Clinton and McAuliffe political groups donated nearly $700,000 to McCabe's wife's campaign, and that was about 40% of the campaign's total funds. So it smells like it's a payoff, and Judicial Watch is digging in to find out what's going on there. Meanwhile, Tom Fitton is out there on record saying that there's a pile of allegations against Hillary Clinton, and yes, we know, going all the way back 30 years. So there's far more evidence of wrongdoing for Hillary Clinton than there ever was for Donald Trump and his people. Interesting little article is pointing out how the Clintons and the Bushes are very much key to this push for a global government. and notes that if Hillary were to be prosecuted, charged, and imprisoned, it could actually trigger a domino effect that might actually bring down much of the core of the globalist movement around the world. I'd like to see that. I am opposed to a one-world government. The larger governments get, the more of a pain in the neck they are. Now, apparently, there's now talk about an investigation into that deputy director, Andrew McCabe, because apparently he was the guy who came on out and said that Hillary Clinton's email server investigation was being given a special class, special status, and that only the very top people at the FBI were going to be investigating that. So Representative Gates, a ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, said to Laura Ingraham Tuesday evening, "I am immediately calling for an investigation into the special treatment the FBI gave Hillary." So pressure is building up, and the Clintons have lost a lot of their political influence. So at some point, there's going to be a crossover between the rising public indignation and the declining Clinton political influence. And they'll cross over, and wonderful things will happen. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, newly filed court documents have confirmed that Fusion GPS, the company that was responsible for that ridiculous Trump dossier, actually did make payments to journalists to push that story. And they made payments between June 2016 until February 2017. So it was suspected. Now it's confirmed. This was a bought and paid for smear job against Donald Trump, just like the bought and paid for smear job against Judge Roy Moore, because smear jobs are much more economical than running an honest campaign. And by the way, just as it didn't work on Trump, it isn't working on Roy Moore. He is still enjoying a very huge lead over his Democratic opponent. Now, fortunately, we're starting to see the Russia scandal, the Uranium One scandal, is starting to become more visible. People have gotten sick and tired of all this sexual abuse stories and all the other distractions. They're getting on back to that. So over at investors.com, they're running a story about how the Russia scandal just got worse, not just for Hillary Clinton, but for Barack Obama. And they're basically talking about a huge cache of newly available documents shows that it really was a lot worse than people thought. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call here. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Actually, today I'm calling from the moon because you're dropping out a lot.
Yeah, I'm here getting that from the control room. I don't know what's going on. We're back on Skype again. We tried to get Fiend Phone running. We couldn't get that going. So I have no idea. I know my feedback in my headset still sounds good, so I don't know what's going on here.
Hey,
all right.
Hey, Mike, I want to wish you and everybody from RBN and all the listeners that call in, including like Mateus from Canada and Errol from the Netherlands, like have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and obviously we join you with that and hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving and a safe one. A lot of cars going to be on the road tomorrow, if not later today. So be very, very, very careful, along with having a good time with family.
I do have one question.
Okay.
Mike, I'm a big fan of John Lasseter. What do you make of what's going on with him?
Oh, boy.
I love Pixar movies, Mike.
I do, too, and I've met Lasseter several times at the SIGGRAPH conferences. But, of course, you don't know what people are really like, assuming the allegations are true. But, again, we know some of them are false. We know the ones against Roy Moore are fake. We had that story earlier in the week about a guy who was accused of sexual assault who passed a lie detector test. And the reality is that there are women who will make these false accusations to get rid of a competition, to get their names in the newspaper, to possibly extort money. to make the story go away. And they're being encouraged to do that. And there's a story here where this Teen Vogue writer, Emily Linden, is out there saying, don't be concerned about innocent men being harmed over false rape claims. And that's the same mentality we were seeing during the rape hysteria during the feminist crisis in the 1990s.
Yeah, Mike, I noticed John Lasseter, he's like a big kid. He wears the Cars shirts and stuff like that. He's got trains and stuff like that. And he likes to hug people, men and women. So, I mean, they're telling the Girl Scouts not to hug grandma, you know. So they want everybody wearing a burqa. You know, to have, like, basically yeah. You're walking around with a wall around you. You know, you're not, don't look up, look down, don't talk to nobody, don't speak, don't ask questions, don't do anything like this. That's what they want, Mike. Obedient slaves, as George Carlin said.
Well, it's not going to work with me because both Claire and I, we're habitual huggers. We hug everybody, so just deal with it.
All right, thanks, Mike. Have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Happy Thanksgiving. So, getting on back to the news, all these scandals are starting to unwind. Now, believe it or not, even the Washington Post is now saying the Clintons should be investigated. And before I get into that story, yeah, it says the show is cutting in and out like someone is turning the volume up and down. Well, I don't have any automatic volume adjustment on this end of the system, and it could just be Skype. Let me take a quick look at Down Detector and see if Skype is reported as having issues today, but then Skype is reported as having issues every day. Some, but no more than usual. Well, I apologize, and here's the good thing. Like I said yesterday, I'm using my wife's Quire laptop, and it's an old machine. It's an old ThinkPad, and I've ordered a new machine that's much more powerful, and it will be here in a week, maybe even when the Thanksgiving holiday is over. So please bear with us and the bad sound, and I wish it was better. But like the caller into the show said yesterday, the problem is money. We're trying to do professional-level broadcast work here, but we're not a professional broadcasting corporation. The big money is all going to the liars. Although that may be changing. I think this cratering of the corporate media over Roy Moore is a watershed moment where the people who have been writing all those huge checks to the corporate media are going to realize they're wasting their money. The corporate media has lost the ability to control what Americans are thinking. But we go through a lot of equipment, and it wears out, and it breaks down. And again, Microsoft really messed up Skype. So we're doing our best here, but bear with us. We're going to have a new computer in here in a week. It's the problem with living out here on Oahu. You have to order everything in, unless you're willing to accept Windows 10, which I'm not. So getting on back to the story, even the Washington Post is now out there saying the Clintons should be investigated. Now, the New York Times went the other way and say, oh, there's nothing here to this Uranium One deal. Why are you wasting all of our time here? But if the Washington Post is starting to veer off and say it's time for an investigation, that's definitely a storm cloud on the horizon for the Clintons. Now then, apparently the FBI is now investigating Pennsylvania Democrat Representative Bob Brady for conspiracy, false statements, and other issues in relation to payments in his campaign allegedly made to his 2012 primary opponent, Jimmy Moore, in order to get him to drop out of the race. So again, we're getting a real good look at what our politicians are really like. And by the way, this is not the first time in history that candidates have bribed their opponents to drop out of the race. Interestingly enough, the Democratic congressman who oversees the sexual harassment settlements, remember we talked about all this money, there's actually a fund set up in Congress to pay out claims and hush money for sexual harassment. But it turns out the guy who oversees this, Congressman Bob Brady of Pennsylvania, is now under FBI investigation for false statements, conspiracy, and campaign fraud. Can they not find any honest people in Washington, D.C.? Did this Demoth...
Harassment. But it turned...
Okay, we just got some feedback coming back. Whoa, we just lost our phone call. All righty, here we go. And we're back. I don't know what happened. Boy, Skype is terrible. Skype is really terrible. We got to get this fiend phone up and running here. So, amid new groping allegations, and apparently at least one past, to put it politely, encounter, California Assemblyman Raul Bocanegra will not run for re-election. He's retiring to private life. Meanwhile, former Congresswoman and convicted felon Corrine Brown is about to have her sentencing hearing after being convicted of 18 counts of federal fraud and corruption last May. Is this the best this nation can do for leaders, legislators? Now, getting on over to more sexual allegations. As you know, it's no secret that Bill Clinton was a regular visitor to Jeff Epstein's island down in the Caribbean, would fly down there on Epstein's private plane, the Lolita Express. But apparently, what some of the stuff that came on out on Anthony Weiner's laptop were emails that showed that Hillary Clinton went down there six times. So that may have been the sexual scandal about Hillary that the caller was referring to earlier in the week. Interestingly enough, the Clinton Presidential Library is refusing to hand over information on Bill Clinton's ties to Jeff Epstein. And I didn't realize presidential libraries had the authority to classify documents. I thought if it was in the library, it was there for researchers to be looking at, but apparently not. And again, there's nothing new here. Going on back all the way to the Franklin scandal, we ran this story that came on out of Galactic Connection about how the Bush administration fired the agents investigating the Franklin scandal to try and cover it up. And apparently part of this whole trading in underage children for sexual purposes was being used also to blackmail the people who were taking advantage of that situation. So apparently it did go all the way up to the White House. Remember that big stink where apparently there was some kind of sexual allegations around the Justice Department and Hillary shut that investigation down? Boy, Washington, D.C. must be a wild town. I thought Hollywood was wild from some of the parties I went to in my younger, more reckless, wild days. But apparently Washington, D.C. makes Hollywood look like a school picnic. Speaking of Hollywood, they're out there building the buzz about a new movie, Call Me By Your Name, which is about an older man's relationship with an underage boy. In other words, they're trying to glamorize pedophilia in the middle of Hollywood's own pedophilia scandal. So we're going to take a break for commercials, try and sort out why we're having all these technical issues, and we'll be right back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we've switched Skype machines, and hopefully our sound is going to be a lot better. I understand it's great over on BAM User. But we will work out these problems, even though we're on this shoestring budget. So anyway, I want to go on back to this. Hollywood right now is dealing with this sexual assault scandal. Everybody's being accused. Some are probably guilty. Some are probably innocent. But at the same time they're doing this, they're coming on out with this movie that is apparently attempting to glamorize pedophilia. And it's supposedly getting Oscar buzz. They're going to run this thing for an Academy Award. And it's certainly very poor timing. But the industry is out there just pushing and promoting this thing. Maybe they're trying to push and promote it because of concern that people won't go to see it at all given the current scandal that's going on. All right, enough of the fluffy news. We're going to get into the war zones here. A lot of stuff going on. Over in Syria, the army has launched a new military operation in the Euphrates Valley. And what they're finding is that there are still some ISIS cells running around there. And they've captured 8 villages. And what the Syrian army is noticing is that ISIS seems to be able to move about in the areas held by the U.S.-backed opposition without any resistance at all, despite claims from the U.S. that they, too, are opposed to ISIS. So something is not adding up. Now, Eric Shawn is out there reporting that there may be new U.S. airstrikes directed at Syria's government. And the only way they're going to get away with that is they're going to have to be another false flag, another fake chemical attack against a school or something like that. But, I mean, just hauling off and bombing Syria's government, that is an act of war. And that could bring U.S. forces into direct contact with the Russians. So these people are nuts. President Recep Erdogan is slamming the current U.S. policy in Syria, as well he should, because the U.S. basically has lost it. Their real agenda was to get rid of Assad, and Assad is still there. Now, apparently Turkey is seriously considering pulling out of NATO completely over that faux pas of listing Erdogan as the enemy during the recent war games. That could actually put a real strain on the rest of the alliance, because not everybody's a member of NATO is 100% happy with that. So it's like Brexit started this whole idea of member states leaving the EU. If Turkey leaves NATO, it's probably going to give some other countries the same idea. We want out of NATO. We don't want to be part of a war with Russia. Now, as you know, Putin had a meeting with Assad, then he had a phone call with President Trump that lasted for about an hour. And Trump came on out with this statement that we're talking strongly about bringing peace to Syria. I have a feeling a lot more than peace was being talked about. And I think Putin probably just laid down the law and said, you have no business being there. We're in Syria at the express invite of the Syrian government. You are not. Your continued military occupation is an aggression. And I'm sure the subject of Sekdef Mattis' comment about we're going to stay in Syria even if ISIS is gone probably resulted in a little bit of discussion as well. But for Trump to come on out and make that very bland statement tells me that Putin probably ran that discussion, that phone call. Now, Lebanon's Prime Minister Hariri has finally returned to Beirut. Maybe that'll calm things down over there. And he's saying his resignation is actually on hold pending talks. Because remember, his resignation was never formally accepted by Lebanon's government. So he's still the Prime Minister. And it looks like he's coming back. Meanwhile, he's telling his supporters, I'm staying with you. So whatever was going on with this resignation, it apparently didn't produce the result that Hariri or Saudi Arabia intended it to. Now, the Lebanese army is currently on alert for a possible threat from Israel. And again, Israel could go into Lebanon over this long holiday weekend when the Americans are distracted with turkeys and parades and football games and all the rest. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And now the feed from RBN to me is starting to have issues as well. And boy, isn't it wonderful living in a third world country where the infrastructure just isn't working? For all we know, could be hackers trying to break into our Skype channel. I mean, they've been after my server, you know, all day here. Getting on back to the news here, as I was saying before I went to the commercial break, ISIS has released photos, a photo of Pope Francis apparently in the process of being beheaded and promising Christmas blood. And I think they're telegraphing a false flag, because if something were to happen to the Vatican, and there was a story earlier about the same thing, a threat from ISIS to hit the Vatican on Christmas, well, that would certainly get all the Christians in a lather to go after all the Muslims, kill each other off, and Israel's going to sit off to the side there and laugh itself silly at how dumb we all are. Now, as you know, the U.S. government has issued a threat to Palestine that their mission in the United States will be closed unless Palestine withdraws their charges against Israeli officials from the International Criminal Court. And the Palestinians are basically saying that they're going to suspend all communication with the United States if the Trump administration follows through with this promise. Okay, let's see. We're going to take a phone call here. Dave in Hungary, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, snack bar. Hey,
aloha,
Mike.
Aloha, snack bar.
I heard some, by the way, that's become a very common meme here at the University of Debrecen. It's spread around I'm dead serious. The students from all the Islamic countries are yelling at each other. So congratulations. Listen, I heard something on Alex Jones. I want to fact check. I wonder if you heard the same thing. Judge Jeanine Pirro got busted for reckless driving. She was apparently arrested for driving 119 miles an hour. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear anything about that. Let me see if I can do a quick web search. And what we have here, let's see. I'm not seeing anything here. Oh, yes. Yeah, she got a ticket for speeding at 119 miles an hour. That's intense.
I love that lady. And if Trump doesn't put her on the Supreme Court, I'm not voting for him in 2020. I gotta say, she's got spirit, but I did her one better. I got my Pontiac 76 Grand Prix up to 120 on the William Floyd Parkway north of Brookhaven Lab a while back. It started a fire in the trunk.
Oh,
apparently, the catalytic converter overheated. I'm lucky it didn't ignite the gas tank.
Yeah, you're very lucky about that. I mean, I'll admit, driving fast is fun, and when I was younger, I did things like that. At my age, with an 18-year-old Honda, you know, getting up to freeway speed, that's about as much as I dare.
But I got to say, Jeanine Pirro has spirit. She'll make a great Supreme Court justice. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, thank you for the information, but that's going to be an expensive ticket. I mean, I don't know what the fines are where she is, but if she was here in Hawaii, she'd have to sell her house.
Maybe not. I had an experience like that in Alabama. I was on my way to Army Chemical Warfare School a while back. I got pulled over by an Alabama state trooper. He walked up to the car and he said, "Son, you know you were doing 110 miles an hour. Let me see your pilot's license." Well, I'm a commercial pilot. So, I have the license. And he laughs, hands it back to me, and says, "Get out of here, stay on the ground." I said, "Sure will, officer."
Yeah, if you can make a police officer laugh, yeah, you can get out of a ticket. I remember one time I got pulled over, and, you know, the police will always ask, "Do you know why I'm pulling you over?" Because you'll admit to something, and that's what they'll cite you for. And so this cop walks on up. And he says, "Do you know what I pulled you over for?" And I said, "Because I'm black." I mean, that's it, right? You see a black man driving an obviously expensive car like this, and you just assume something has to be wrong. That's profiling. And the guy cracked up, and he handed my license and registration back.
Okay, sometimes you meet a cop with a sense of humor. Anyway, I wish Judge Jeanine the best. Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. And I remember the last time I did get a ticket for speeding, and the officer, She was very polite, nice. And I said, I'm not going to give you any grief. I earned that ticket, you know. And I even wrote on the ticket when I sent in the fine, I said, this officer was really polite and professional. We have really good police here in Hawaii. All righty, getting on back to the serious news. Can you tell I'm already in kind of vacation mood? I'm just getting silly here. Apparently, there is this village on Jerusalem's hillside that is getting ready to be demolished by Israel. And the village is called Lifta, and it's on a tentative list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. And the World Monuments Fund organization has put it on its list of sites under threat. This is an historical area, and Israel wants to erase it. They're literally trying to sell the idea, oh, there was never such a thing as Palestine. It was all made up by those anti-Semites. Now, there's another article. This is from Desert Peace. And it's talking about the seeming new emergence of Arab complicity in the liquidation of Palestine. And ever since Israel was created on Palestinian land, there has been this divide where the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, all say, yes, Israel can be there, but there must be a Palestinian state as well. And Israel has been putting all these international settlements all over the West Bank, trying to break it up so there's no contiguous piece of land left for the Palestinian state. And, of course, they're annexing East Jerusalem as fast as they can because that was supposed to be the future capital of the Palestinian state. And now, all of a sudden, we're hearing indications that some of these other Arab nations are ready to go along with that. Now, I'm hesitating to be declarative on this because there was a story that came out last week about how Saudi Arabia was ready to throw Palestine under the bus to get all buddy-buddy with Israel. Then that was denied by Saudi Arabia's foreign minister, who came on out and said, no, we're not getting close, and we still demand a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. So there's a lot of confusion over there. Meanwhile, the UN Rapporteur for Human Rights in the occupied territories came out with this harsh report, basically saying there needs to be sanctions on Israel for driving Palestinians back to the Dark Ages. Because every time Israel stages another one of these attacks on Gaza, they'll blow up the power stations, they'll blow up the modern infrastructure, and bit by bit, the standard of living for the Palestinians is being sent back in time. Now, Dr. Ashwari, in an article over at memc.org, has come on out and said the U.S. is disqualifying itself as a regional peace broker. And we have said the same thing here for a very, very long time, especially since 9/11. The United States has abandoned even the pretense of being an impartial negotiator between Israel and the rest of the Middle East, and has come down firmly on the side of Israel, which is why I am convinced Israel is blackmailing the U.S. government with the truth behind 9/11. Because if you look at Israel's behavior, their arrogance and their demands, it just skyrocketed right after 9/11. Very sharp increase, called attention to itself. Now, an official source from the Syrian Foreign Ministry has condemned last Sunday's Saudi-fronted anti-Iranian Hezbollah meeting of the Arab League, and basically said that the Arab League has become a tool for implementing imperialist agendas. And it certainly does seem that way. Goes on to say, the Arab League has been degraded into becoming a tool steered by the money of the oil sheikdoms against the interest of the Arab nations and its existence, as well as common security goals, while being guided by implementation of dictates of the nation's enemies. A lot of corruption out there. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the U.S. government sending offensive weapons to Ukraine and concern that it could trigger a major explosion there in violence. But it turns out there are companies in the U.S. who are already sending lethal weapons to Ukraine. Airtronic USA in Texas has a license and is sending grenade launchers to Ukraine. This is a report from Voice of America. And the company's CEO, Richard Wendiver, says that he started cooperation with Ukraine 2 years ago, and the first deliveries of grenade launchers began in 2016. Now, over in Lugansk, there is still apparently a lot of tension regarding the attempted firing of the Minister of Internal Affairs, who is now apparently trying to get his job back by force of arms. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Jeff in St. Paul, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, up here in the Twin Cities a couple days ago, there's a suburb of Minneapolis-St. Paul in the western suburbs called Eden Prairie, and there's a mall there. And somebody that had a rifle or a shotgun brought it into the mall to a store that he thought did gun work, and they told him, no, they don't work on firearms or guns, and so he left the store, but somebody in the parking lot saw him walking out to his car and called 911, and for the rest of the day, they shut the mall down. They had police there, helicopters, and the whole deal.
Well,
so I wonder, where do people go to get their guns fixed?
Well, you find a good gun store, but, I mean, common sense is going to tell you that you get a gun case so that people don't actually see the gun.
No, it was like in a shotgun case or something. You know, it was in a gun case. They reported that he was walking from the mall to his car and leaving, but they shut the mall down and had police and helicopters out there all day.
Well, I'll admit it's a knee-jerk reaction, but my question is why somebody looking at a gun case would... I mean, it's just a case. There could be lots of things in there that aren't guns. You know, like...
Guitar.
Yeah, well, not, I don't know about a guitar. Depends. That'd be a weird-shaped gun. But, I've had gun cases before, and nobody ever panicked when they saw them. But probably going to a gun store that is not actually in a mall. And to be very honest, I've never seen a gun store in a shopping mall. I think most shopping malls don't want to have them. So, again, it's an over-the-top reaction, I will grant you.
You know, I got a book about the early days of the Twin Cities, and in the early days in the 50s and stuff, all the stores were locally owned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all corporate owned.
I know.
So, and I see Amazon boxes blowing everywhere in the alleys and everywhere.
Yeah, it's this concentration of wealth into a few corporations. It's anti-competition. We used to have laws that prevented that, anti-monopoly, antitrust laws, but these have all been bribed away by the larger corporations so that they can become larger.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks a lot for the phone call. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Now, here's a weird one. Okay, apparently, the European Council President Donald Tusk is now blaming Russia and Putin for the current kerfuffle between Poland and Brussels. Oh, it's all Russia's fault. No matter what happens, it's Russia's fault. Our dryer broke the little drive belt. It had to be Russia. They've got a secret drive belt severing laser in orbit. I mean, it really is getting ridiculous. Now, as I mentioned before, there is talk about Turkey leaving NATO and possibly leading to a complete unraveling of the alliance. And this is coming from Yunus Soner, deputy chairman of Turkey's Vatan Party, in an interview with Sputnik, saying that Turkey's withdrawal from NATO is virtually inevitable. Turkey is pivoting away from the West. A lot of countries are pivoting away from the West. They're pivoting away from the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar. In terms of global geopolitics, the U.S. is losing this right now. Now, over in Great Britain, they're taking a good look at the F-35, and they, like Israel, are not entirely sure this is a good deal. And now Parliament is considering cutting back on the number of aircraft they're going to order. And it's another reminder that for all the money poured into America's military, we're not producing superior weapons. And even though the U.S. is paying more for the machinery of war than the next 25 countries combined, it doesn't automatically guarantee victory. There's a cautionary note there. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. Hello, hi, America. Welcome back to the show. And as you may have heard on the corporate media, there has been a crash of a U.S. Navy plane off the coast of Japan. There were 11 people on the aircraft. 8 have been found alive, are in a good condition. They're still looking for the other 3. So, again, U.S. equipment just seems to be falling out of the sky or breaking down or crashing into other things. Apparently, they're still having no luck finding that missing submarine. And at this point, if it was on the bottom, they're out of oxygen. That's a horrible way to go. Let's talk about the economic news for a little bit. The economic news is not good, despite what the stock market may be trying to convince you. The American dream is effectively dead. The average U.S. household is $137,000 in debt. 38.4% of millennials are living with their parents after they're done paying those usurious student loans and unable to find a high-paying job with those useless college degrees. They don't have any money left over for rent, let alone buying a home. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Frank in North Carolina, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael, I know you don't like people bringing up uncorroborated stories and whatnot, but I heard some kind of compelling, and I was wondering if you'd heard about it. I might have missed it, but this guy, what's his name, Gary Holland, I think. Jeff Rentz describes him as an ex-Marine, and he's a Las Vegas resident, I guess. And he's real familiar with the area. Certainly sounds that way. And he seems like a pretty logical, you know, objective researcher to me. He comes across that way. He's been real high profile on Rentz now for, I guess, somewhere after since October 1st of the shooting incident that happened there at the, oh God, there I go again.
Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay, right. Now, he's saying, they're reporting now that Mandalay Bay hired a public relations firm to put out, to create stories and put out disinformation on the Internet to discredit anyone that would question the official story of what happened. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I actually have, and we even mentioned it earlier in the week that one of the things this public relations firm was doing was planting all these really wild conspiracy theories on the Internet, on the independent media, to just kookify the whole issue so that people stopped looking at the very real evidence that the official story is a bunch of junk.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We'll let you go. Now, getting on back to the news here. We're in the middle of another housing bubble here, and it's gotten so bad that even mobile homes, the double wides, are no longer really affordable. That's another reason so many millennials are living with their parents. And one of the comments I've made about current affairs in the world is how the U.S. is making war while our supposed enemies, Russia and China, are building things and making deals. And China, of course, is doing the Silk Road Belt, to speed commerce between Europe and China and Russia. And Russia is now doing a major project to open up a Northern Sea route. And if there's any country that knows how to deal with harsh Arctic weather, it's Russia. They have the world's only nuclear-powered icebreakers, for example. And what they're getting ready to do is establish a route along the northern edge of Russia to speed commerce again to Europe. And they're saying that basically this will cut shipping time almost in half. And the other positive is that it means they don't have to use the Suez Canal, which is right in the middle of an area that looks to be on the verge of a regional war. So that's another reason why people don't want to go the traditional shipping routes. It's another reason why China's Silk Road Belt is looking increasingly attractive. So Russia is investing a huge amount of resources into a new generation icebreakers to keep the sea lanes open, and hardened, ice-capable supertankers and cargo carriers. And it will dramatically change the shipping industry for much of the world.